following. We want about 3 to 5 verses of that passage.
My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Behold, we put bits in the horses' mouths, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships, which though they be great, and are driven by fierce winds, yet they are turned about with a very small helm, whichsoever the governor listeth. Even so the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth.
You may stop there. I encourage you to always, as you go through life, remember the passage of James chapter 3. James is presenting the mouth or the tongue as the most unruly member of our body, the most difficult to control, the one that gets us in more spiritual trouble than any other member of our body. And James is not the only person or inspired writer. Inspired writers such as the wise man Solomon in Proverbs. But why we come to this passage, notice how the passage begins. Brethren,
be not many masters.
Be not many of you masters. Now, keep in mind that the word master there is really teacher. That is the exact word. That is the, if you have some translation, that's what they would have, because that is the correct translation. Be not many of you teachers. But Brother Mitchell, the Bible encourages us to be teachers. The church needs teachers. You are so right. You are so right. One of the greatest need of the church is teachers. Truly. In fact, I'm planning, whenever I do remember, and the mind is not occupied by other things, that each Sunday morning, as I step up here, unless some brother do it, and I would be glad, but that somebody do it, ask the congregation a question, especially in reference to the Christian. What have you done over the past week to influence somebody to Christ? If one of us can remember to do this every Sunday morning as worship begins. In fact, if it's said 2 times, that's okay. That's reinforcement. What have you done over the past? Keep in mind Sunday being the first day of the week. So we would be referring to the past week just ending. What have you done over the past week to influence somebody to accept Christ? To be content and to be satisfied with attending service once or twice a week and to feel comfortable with that shows that we do not, that person doesn't understand what Christianity is about. How does that relate to the lesson? Teachers. The church needs teachers. That's right. It needs men and women who will prepare themselves. And that is, put out effort to learn with a view to God may send somebody in my direction that I can teach. Let me prepare myself. So how comes the Bible is telling us, don't many of you take up teaching? You know, the Bible, when you go there and the person who is anxious to find fault with the Bible, and there are many. And you know why? Because what the Bible teaches troubles them. There are thousands of men and women out there at your workplace that just don't like what the Bible teaches. So they are anxious to find fault with it. And a lot of times, you unwillingly become a victim, not realizing the point of view from which the person is quick to point out contradiction in the Bible. There's really none. That's right. Just the fact that so many times we do not understand when two passages may appear to say different things. In this morning's lesson, we pointed out the Bible tells us that the Almighty God has not given us the spirit of fear. Yet, the Bible all over encourages us to fear. That seems like contradiction. No, it's not contradiction. Well, it's the same way. We need teachers in the church. Teachers. Men and women who have the conviction, the boldness, and the knowledge to teach. But how comes this? Brethren, be not many of you. Yes, yours says master, teachers. This passage was never meant to discourage us from being teachers. It's worded like that. Other translation worded differently. But that's not the aim of the passage here in James chapter 3 and verse 1. Note, of course, that the entire passage of James chapter 3 is dealing with the bridling or the controlling of the mouth or the tongue. The entire passage, if you ship to that as big as the ship is one little instrument that controls it. A ship is really a massive thing. What, it was a year ago or 2 years ago, somebody treated us to a cruise. And on one occasion, Sister Mitchell was asking, I don't know if it is Melanie or Christine, when are we getting back on the ship? Because we were on the ship. But it felt like she was on land. And sometimes when you reach a port, and getting back to the ship and see the massiveness of that thing, you wonder, you know, how I'm about to say, oh, it's stay on the water. We know, you know, the law of physics, the pressure, and all of that. But a ship is a big thing. Yes, a small instrument controls it. That's what James is telling us. And he used that to show how, as big as our body is, So often, the mouth or the tongue get away. But you know the dreadful thing? It poses so much danger to our eternal welfare. That's the problem. That's what James, you see. So the passage is not about discouraging us from teaching God's word. Are we all there? The text was never intended to seek to discourage anyone who might be qualified to teach. What James' intent is to remind us of the responsibility. It was never meant to deter us from teaching. Be not many of you masters. He's not saying, don't take up teaching. In fact, he's almost saying the opposite. He's telling you, take up teaching God's word, but be mindful that it carries great responsibility. And you know where you find one passage that encompass that responsibility? 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 11. That's right. And I have no doubt that the inspired writer James had the thought in 1 Peter chapter 4, 11 in mind. At least the substance of that passage. Let us hear it.
If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God.
That's the point. That's James is saying, don't quit to take up teaching if you are not prepared to speak as God's oracle. If you are not prepared to be directed by what God wants you to say. So don't see this passage, be not many of you master. There it is, the Bible is telling us that many of us should not take up teaching. No, that's not what it is doing. The emphasis is the responsibility that teaching God's truth entails, rather than to deter us from teaching. The warning or the caution is very important. It was important at the time James wrote, and it is important in our time. Notice, read for me that verse about offending in words. Right there in James. I believe it's verse 2 or 3, somewhere there.
For in many things we offend all.
Mm-hmm.
If any man...
Wait. You get it? In many things we offend all. Could you please give me a few seconds to read that from the Amplified? That's verse 2.
Yes.
For we all often stumble and fall and offend in many things. If anyone does not offend in speech, you get the drift? When the King James say, in many things we offend all, it is telling you that in our speech, we can offend in so many areas. And you see where James is getting here? He's getting right at teaching. Right at teaching. We must make sure that we teach the right things. When we teach God's word, that's what the passage, of course, the passage is controlling the tongue. One of the things about preaching and teaching God's word is that some of the same problem that a person who lies, gossip, backbite, and the mischievous, some of the same problem that that person suffer from is the same problem that we can suffer from in preaching and teaching. You know, sometimes a person's impulsively gossip, backbite, take up people's business. They just want to talk about it. Well, a lot of times, impulsively, we just want to say what we like to say from the pulpit. We are teaching, supposed to be teaching God's word, and we get away. That's right. We just start talking what we like, how we feel, how we see things. We do not care to be guided by God's word. I think it was either yesterday or the day before, Sister Mitchell and myself were together. And you see them tired people who won and in the bus and thing. And, you know, I was laughing and, you know, I say a little smile, you know, and to the effect that, you know, when those people get in spirit, quote unquote, God's word have nothing to do with guiding them. They just talk how they feel, their emotion lead them. Now, this is one of the things. Let me hear again. In many things we offend in.
For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body.
When we can control what we say, when we can be guided by God's word in what we teach and preach, when we respect God's word to do that, because the Almighty God expects no less of us and no more. Don't ever try to help out God by adding something to His word. Don't ever try to be more effective by pricking up God's word with your own ideas. You only ugly talk. That's right. As I said, the warning or caution is very important. At the time, James wrote, church meeting and church gathering were quite informal. Be mindful of this. When I said informal, I don't mean disorderly, necessarily. It doesn't mean disorderliness did not come in, because 1 Corinthians chapter 14, the entire chapter dealt with a problem that existed occurring, disorderliness in the worship. 1 Corinthians chapter 11 from verse 17 in respect to the taking of the communion also addressed the subject of disorderliness in worship in respect to the communion. And I can mention other parts in the Bible where you can see the Christians were not going by the order that the Holy Spirit expects. Let everything be done decently and orderly. That was to govern worship then, and it is to govern worship now. So at that time, church meeting and church gatherings were quite informal. And anyone, any brother, why Brother Mitchell? Because as most of you, if not all of you know, women, the sisters, were not permitted to address a mixed audience. So then, any brother wishing to be heard could get up and speak. Look at 1 Corinthians chapter 14, 26. Following.
What then, brethren, is the right course? When you meet together, each one has a hymn, a teaching, a disclosure of special knowledge or information.
Wait. You see what Paul is doing? This is corrective measure. This is corrective measure. 14, 26. Start again. Let me hear it from the King James.
How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation.
Wait. You get the drift? And you know, this is telling us a lot, you know. That God is a God of order. The church was never meant where we meet and each brother does what he wants to do and each sister. No, the church was meant to be that what we are doing, we are organized and we are orderly. And we must keep that in mind. Brother such and such, I feel to do this. And when he does his thing, another. I would like to do this, brother, such and such. The church was never meant to be like that. Let us hear it again, brother.
How is it then, brethren, when you come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation. Let all things be done unto edifying.
You see. In effect, you stop at what verse?
That's 26.
We may read a few more verses. In effect, Paul is condemning the business where the person with his psalms, you know, the person who wants to testify, the person who wants to tell his experience, subjective experience, you know, thank God for these passages. Read a little more, brother.
If any man speak in an unknown tongue, let it be by two or at the most by three.
Wait. Y'all get it? Y'all see it now? If he speak in tongue, unknown tongue, let it be
By two. At the most by three.
But watch here, he's not finished with it.
And that by course.
By course.
And let one.
Wait now. One at a time. And let one does what?
Interpret.
And when you talk to these Pentecostal and whoever about Tom, here is a regulation in respect to how it should be carried out. People don't just. Amen, hallelujah. Let them get tongue and nobody know what they are saying. When a person have the gift of tongue and get up and say something in tongue, there should be somebody down there afterward to get up and tell you what he says. In fact, before I get off on that. So each person, when the church met, each brother who felt he wanted to say something, and a lot of times, keep in mind, I learned long ago, when I was going to college, there's a difference between the person who wants to say something and the person who That's very important. There's a difference between the person who wants to say something and the person who has something to say. This person will contribute something to your knowledge, your enlightenment, because the person has something to say. This person just wants to be heard. That's right. And there is a vast difference. Okay? So, as we have said, part of the enticement was the great honor that was attached in the ancient world in first century time, first century Christianity. There was great honor attached to teaching. Not just in the church, but in the secular world. The person who teaches was looked up on, and rightly so. Are we all there? Have you ever thought there could be no doctor, lawyer, engineer without teachers? Have you ever? That's right. Almost everything that we have become in life is dependent on teachers. I don't know how I don't hear Sweetie say amen. Of course. Teacher. And that's a fact. But in the first century, we thought that the person take of a profession, the person needs to teach. Okay. It was looked upon. So you find, you get me now? Many people in the church, one, even though they were not qualified, they were not prepared, they were not cognizant of responsibility of teaching God's word, they want to rush to teach. In many cases, they want to say something even though they didn't have anything to say. It's out of that type of consideration and environment James wrote. James is saying, consider the responsibility of teaching God's word before you take it up. But once you are cognizant of the responsibility, be mindful that God and the cause of Christ needs more teachers. Look at verse 28, 1 Corinthians 12, 28.
But if there be no interpreter, let him keep silence in the church.
No, you're at 14, 28. It's 12:28.
And God hath set some in the church, first apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers.
Wait. Notice. First apostles. Secondly a prophet. And this, of course, is referring to the supernatural gifts and those who exercise it. In most other places where this is listed, the evangelist comes after the prophet. And teaching here would also include him. You see. Read again.
And God has set some in the church. First apostles, secondarily prophets, thirdly teachers. After that, miracles.
Yes, you see, teachers. So, teaching and those who taught had a respectful, honorable place in the first century church and first century Christianity. This eagerness, because of the prestige that was attached to it, this eagerness led to self-seeking. Well, self-seekingness. And you have many rush to teach even though they were not qualified. Brethren, be not many of you teachers. He's not saying you must not take up teaching. Be it you are teaching, you are learning to teach individual on a one-to-one basis, or you want to become a part of the Sunday school system. The church needs you. God needs you. What you must always bear in mind when you take up teaching God's truth, God expects you to be guided by His word and to be speak as His orator. Some of James' readers, in fact many, had come out of Judaism. That's right. Many of them had just recently, 1 or 2 years, out of Judaism and did not gain enough knowledge about Jesus Christ, Christianity, the plan of salvation, the church. Yet they were eager to teach. But you know what they were teaching when they were given the chance? The law. Because that is what they had absorbed all their lives. They now come in the church. And when they were given a chance to teach, that's what they taught. Romans 2, 17 following.
Behold, thou art called a Jew, and
2:17 following.
Yes, behold, thou art called a Jew, and stayest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest His will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law.
You see, start there. Being instructed out of the law. So usually when they start get a chance to teach, it was the law. They lack knowledge of true Christianity. What we have here was that you have these people want to merge Christianity and Judaism together in the church. They want to merge the teachings of Jesus Christ and the teaching of the law. And that would destroy man's soul. I don't remember if the passage I need is 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7.
Desiring to be teachers of the law, understanding neither what they say nor whereof they affirm.
You all hear that? And this is just one of the places and one of the terms that Paul used. They were eager, they got converted. And it's not that they were against Christianity, but they believed the law, the law, the law. Paul said they don't even understand that. It's the same thing we have today. The teachers of the law were the most troublesome and consistent troublesome element in the first century church. Remember this. Those who want to teach the Old Testament system were the most troublesome in the first century church. One commentator said, they were the great corruptors of Christianity. So, James, be not many of your teachers. It was against all of this type of background that James, as if it were encouraging them to make sure you know where you are teach. Make sure you qualify yourself. Don't run to take up teaching if you do not know what you are to teach, if you do not respect the gospel, or else your mouth will send you to hell. The passage was never meant to discourage teachers, but to remind us of the awesome responsibility to qualify ourselves before we teach. I hope I don't dampen your desire to teach tonight, but that what I have said will encourage you to put more effort in making sure that you respect God's word. You study to know as much about Christianity as you can, and that is a lifetime effort. Don't ever think that after you have studied intensely the Word of God, the Bible, you have gone through the Bible 100 times over a period of 10 years, and at the end of it you feel that you are qualified. Please, don't ever make that mistake. You know why? After after we have gone through the Bible 1,000 times, there are so many things that you have read that God has not yet opened your eyes to. That's right. Never think that by going through the Bible, in fact, by even memorizing the entire Bible, that you understand what you memorize. Because that's not the way God works. The more you stay with the Word, it's the more the Holy Spirit opens your eyes to understand it. If you're here tonight and want to become a child of God, you can come believing, repenting, confessing Jesus' name and getting baptized so that Jesus Christ can start helping to qualify you to be a teacher in His kingdom in the church as we stand.